Turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I want to deal tonight, this morning, with the business of the ministry. Luke, chapter 2. Now, most people go to Luke during Christmas time and pick up a Christmas message, which you should do. That's just such a blessing. For years, I've seen church doors close and ministries go down. It's always bothered me, how could a ministry go down? How could that happen when God said to open one? And I've read Luke chapter 2, I don't know how many times. At least 30, because I've preached in them for Christmas messages. But a lot more than that. And as I said last night, and you know, we all been Catholic at least once. How many of y'all been Catholic at least once? If you were in Louisiana, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, we could say what the priest said, Nomine Patria Fili. My Spirito Santo. Yeah. Oh, we knew how to do that. Now, you Protestants don't have the foggiest idea what I just said. What did he say? It's truly amazing, the difference between the Protestant church and the Catholic church. And when the Lord called me into the ministry, he said, I want you to watch over my money because an accounting is coming. He said, Jesse, I'm not a loser. I don't lose nothing. Then I thought about the churches and the different things that opened up with great fanfare and are no longer present today. Something went wrong. Now, Mary was a wonderful woman. If you Catholic, most people love Mary. And you Protestants, leave Mary alone. I was mad about Mary. That's the mother of Jesus. I ain't saying pray and do all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, my Lord, that's his mama. And when you talk about his mama, you get mad if I talk about your mama. I don't doubt the Lord said he's talking about my mama again. She lost Jesus for 3 days. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. She lost God. Hail Mary, full of grace. Blessed art thou among women. The mother of Jesus, she lost him. Because kids can get away from you. You ever had your kid run into a bathroom that you're not supposed to go into? You ever had, if you're a woman, you had your child run into a man's bathroom, you go, come on, come on, come on. I mean, kids will do whatever. They just laugh, just think it's funny. You know, it don't make a difference. Well, she was kind of nerve-wracked because she lost God. Can you imagine a father? Where's my boy? You lost my boy. Now, what he says in here in Luke chapter 2, verse 43, when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass. That's my favorite phrase in the Bible. But just, did you get healed? Came to pass. Did you get out of debt? Came to pass. I love that. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Now, Jesus was broke. Who paid for the hotel for 3 days? Who paid for his food for 3 days? Evidently, Jesus wasn't broke. Because he's by himself now for 3 days, so he must have had some money on him. Because he had to sleep somewhere. He had to eat somewhere. He had to get dressed somewhere. After 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Verse 47, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Oh, let me paraphrase it. We got a problem here? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? You notice Jesus didn't say about my father's ministry. He said about my father's business. The business of the ministry. How to operate and function something God has given you. A project, a dream that becomes a living reality. That's under your care. And every man's work must continue. If my ministry starts with just one generation, me, it wasn't worth much to start with. Every man's work must continue. Where there's a Moses, there's got to be a Joshua. Do you understand that? Has to be. Because God's work continues, not only on this life, but in the life to come. But if you don't function and operate correctly concerning what God has given you, Satan will take it away. You will not keep the faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this. Out of 100% of what you do, if you are ministry, 20% of it's ministry and the 80% is business. You spend all week long getting to that pulpit to preach the gospel, which is about 20% of ministry. But if you think about all your secretaries, all the different things that you operate, how a church operates, your parking lot, everything it does was the business of it before you get to the point where you can actually do ministry. I've had people say this, my God, this place looked like you built it last year. This building here, right here, is 8 years old, and it looks like it was built yesterday. We keep it up. Why? It's God's place. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, if you add all of it, what is it? 10, 12 years, I guess. Now, totally everything. We keep it up because it's my business to keep it up. You see what I'm saying? And we have great maintenance crews and people that help us to do all those things. But it's amazing. If you notice, you don't see grass. You don't see weeds. You don't see things. We get in there and we see a weed. Kathy can spot a weed at 100 yards. She'll call Rick and say, there's a weed. Rick, you sound like somebody out there. Go jerk it out. But this is God's place. Because if he shows up physically, I don't want him to say, my God, man, my house is dirty. Now, you know me, I don't like a dirty house. And I got to watch myself sometimes because if I walk into a dirty house, I just say it. Kathy, I embarrassed her so bad one time. We went over to some people's house and that was the filthiest house I ever saw. I walked in and said, good Lord, what hit this place? Kathy said, shut up. They said, would you like something to drink? No, no, not here. No, not here. I'm just going to be honest with you. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't like a dirty house. I don't like dirt. We didn't have a lot of money growing up. We were poor, but we were clean. You understand? I mean, Mama just rubbed till the skin come off sometimes. I said, Mama, you're taking the skin off. You grow some more. They used to lie to us. If you chew gum and swallow it, it's gonna blow up your stomach. If you keep dirt in your ears, they're gonna grow potatoes in there. I believe that stuff. Well, Mama, I mean, she'd just freak you out over dirt. You could eat off my mother's floor. You honestly could. Roaches wouldn't walk in there. It was too clean. They'd just slip all over the place. Mama knew how to clean the house. Kathy's sister, Deborah, knew how to clean the house. Now, the rest of her sisters need a little help, but Deborah knew how to clean the house. There's two of them right there, glory to God. Deborah flat cleaned the house, huh? You walk out of our house, you'll smell like Clorox for 85 days, but I'll tell you what, you're going to be clean. She know how to do that stuff. You eat at Deborah and Jew's house, you can take it to the bank. There ain't a virus anywhere. They have virus graveyards at their house, glory to God. He said, I'm about my Father's business. Now write this down if you're taking notes. If you don't have a business approach to your ministry, it is destined for failure. No matter how much anointing is upon it. I'll prove that. The most anointed person that God Almighty ever saw was Satan. He anointed him, called him the anointed cherub. But he didn't take care of business. He tried to establish his own thing and not taking care of God's business and was stripped of that anointing. Now, if the devil can be stripped of the anointing, you can. And Jesus couldn't do nothing without the anointing. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. You know what the word good means there? If you ever do a Greek thing, it means philanthropy. When you give to God, you just gave to this ministry, this is his work, you are a Christian philanthropist. Going around doing philanthropy. Good things to help people. That's what that word means. So I tell people all the time, especially when I'm preaching, you know, and especially at a telethon or praise-a-thon or share-a-thon, you know, they all got different names. Praise-a-thon, telethon, share-a-thon. What they want is the thong. You see, that's all it boils down to, you know. Not a thong, a thong. If you don't have a business, that's funny. When I thought I was funny myself, oh gee. Sometimes the Lord made me laugh. I didn't know what a thong was. I thought that's a shoe that you wear. Till I went to Hawaii and I thought, oh Jesus. I told these girls, y'all gonna need a healing tonight. I'm laying on them beach. I couldn't get over that, Lord Jesus. That's uncomfortable looking myself. I'd have a problem. You'd see me back up, I'd just be back up. And I can say what I want because this is my church. I'll say what I want. I ain't going to say it in your church, but I'll say that here. If you don't have a business approach to your ministry, it is destined for failure no matter how much anointing is upon it. That's including not only ministry, but in your own business if you have one. In your own job. You must be anointed to do what you do. But if you don't do it correctly and honor it, because business is line upon line, precept upon precept. Write this down. The business of ministry in a nutshell is one word. Production. If you don't produce, there is no future. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must produce. I make my ministry produce. I tell my directors, my executive director, and all, I said, listen, we are going to produce something here. Because ministry in a nutshell is production. You must produce. He said, go ye and well, preach the gospel to every creature. Didn't say some creature, said every creature. I take that literally. Then I must produce. When I go to a church, I've had, I don't know how many pastors over the years say, when you come to my church grows. People come and they stay. Well, I'm not going there just so they can hear me. I'm going to enhance the church. He said the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. See, I've always been a church person. I like church. Especially after I got saved. I didn't like it before I got saved. I hated church. It was the boringest thing you ever seen in your life. My, it used to last about 28 minutes. How many of y'all used to get pinched by your mama in the Catholic Church in Mass? Hold your hand up. How many times you saw a nun, she slapped you with a ruler or just hit you with a stick? I didn't like church. Because everybody, what they believed, nothing worked. They all believed in healing. All of them were sick. I could figure that out at 6 years old. Believe in healing? Well, why are you sick? They believe in God bless you and broke as a junkyard dog. They're bleeding in love and mad at everybody, want to kill a pastor. I said, Mama, you want me to believe this? It don't even work for you. You think I ain't crazy? You see what I'm saying? Nothing worked. Everything they said didn't work. And you had to do your daily or your holy obligation. I went to church out of fear. Years ago, they used to, the Catholic Church said you couldn't eat meat on Friday. One time I bit into a hamburger on Friday. People say, it's Friday. I went, it almost vomited on the people just trying to get it out of my mouth. And then when I took communion in the Catholic Church, I really liked the way they do communion. Because you just walk up there and do this. Now, they don't do that no more because they got AIDS. You get your own here. You ain't putting my finger on your tongue here. But at the Protestant church, they didn't have enough money to buy a host. They use crackers. Saltine crackers. Because they can last longer. Just break them up in little pieces and stuff like that. Remember that? First time I ever took communion in a Protestant church, they handed me the tray. You know how they put it? I got me a handful of crackers. My mama said, put it back, boy, put it back. I said, what he gave me, mama? True story. I didn't know. In the Catholic Church, you could not bite the host because they believe in the doctrine of transubstantiation. So you had to go. And if you went to bite it, your mama beat you. You're biting Jesus. I'm sorry. So and I'm not trying to be being disrespectful. You had to let Jesus slip down your throat. Is that the truth? Am I telling the truth, Catholics? And the Protestants was worse. You're about ready to drink the covenant of God. Oh, let's drink and take the cup together. You're about ready to put it to your lips. And they're screaming, preacher, if you drink it unworthily, you'll damn your soul in hell. Oh, no, we don't want none of that. I'm going to put that right over here. Scared a fire out of you. That's not good business. The business of the ministry in a nutshell is one word. Write it down. Production. If you don't produce, there is no future. What I do today will determine my future. What will happen tomorrow? Do you understand that? That's why I'm constantly working. Even on my days off, I'm producing tomorrow today because tomorrow will come. Never spend tomorrow's money today because tomorrow is coming. You ought to write that down. You never spend tomorrow's money today because tomorrow is coming. And there's nothing wrong with borrowing money. People think I'm against that. I'm not. But what I'm saying is what you borrow, you're going to have to pay back. It's all good if the economy's kicking good. But what happens if it goes south? You hear what I'm saying? Or somebody gets mad at you in your church. And the first thing they do is I'm going to pull my tithe back. It ain't your tithe. It's the Lord's tithe. Now, that's another word I didn't understand. First time he said to give you tithe. I went to a project. I thought he said tires. I thought, my God, what's the matter? The bus needs some tires. I said, something. I don't think my car tires fit that bus. Kathy said, no, it's tithe. Oh, tithe. So if you don't have a business approach to your ministry, it is destined for failure no matter how much anointing is upon it. So when I go to do business for this ministry, like buying television time, doing whatever I need to do, I calculate. I never forget years ago. I don't know if Fritz is here this morning or not. Hey, Fritz in the back. And Fritz was my first employee. Now watch this. In those days, we had VHS videos. I only had three machines. Three. And you had to run them for time. In other words, if it was an hour, run an hour. If it was an hour and a half, you run it. You know, because if you tried to duplicate, the duplication wasn't very good. So a lot of people wanted me to buy more video machines. So they came up to me and said, can we get some more of these things so we can do more? I said, well, how many more you want? Well, we want three more. I said, so that's running six an hour. Well, yeah. I said, well, are we selling six an hour? Well, no. Then why I want to buy three more machines? They go, well, so we can put them on the shelf. I said, I don't think like an American. I think like a Japanese. See, the Japanese smart people. If you buy a car, a Toyota, they don't buy the CD player or the radio until, watch this, it's delivered on the day that the car is coming down the assembly line. They put it in the car. They sell the car to America or wherever it is. It goes overseas. You got a 30-day invoice. So even before they get the invoice, they done made their profit. So I tell people in my ministry, especially my production distribution, I said, my Lord, we don't believe in storing up stuff. If you've got a vendor that can turn you around in 3 days, and my God, and if he's good at that, then that's when you buy, because you can actually sell the product before you get the invoice on the sleeve. Then you're working from a profit standpoint of view instead of playing catch up and backup. You see what I'm saying? You see, that's called production. I said, I'll buy three more machines when we're doing six an hour. All you want to do is run some more and put it on a shelf so you don't have to do no work the rest of the day. I was born at night, but not last night. Finally, as I began to buy them, and at one time, how many we had? 200? And running 200 an hour and selling 200 an hour. Wow, that's called production. But ain't no use to buy it. But if you got a vendor that can turn you around, that can work. And I tell people, and of course, Chris and them know now, I said, when we do business, you talk to this person. I don't want no ands, ifs, buts, so-sos, and excuses. You don't want that when it comes to money. When I owe you money, you don't want that. You just want your money. I just want the product. Now, we're going to do business here. You understand? And that's what we do. Because I have to account to God. I also have to account to my board that's here. Because y'all see everything that comes in this ministry. There ain't nothing hidden or nothing at all. They see it all, every bit of it. Why? We have to show them. First by law and also by God. So the business of ministry is all about one word, production. If you believe in salvation, you ought to get people saved. You see what I'm saying? Healed, blessed, touched, whatever. This must be, the ministry is a production thing. Now write this down. The business of the ministry is not a part-time job. This is not just done on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. The business of the ministry is not a part-time job. It's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week job. If you call to the ministry and you truly understand ministry, you're going to work harder than you've ever worked in your life. I can't go anywhere. I never get rid of this. I'm not supposed to. If I go somewhere on vacation, and Eddie, my son-in-law, who is the executive director of JDM, he said, I'm not going to call you. And I've never been to, I always preach in Hawaii. And Kathy said, Jesse, the only man in the world can get bored in Hawaii. I can get bored in Hawaii. After I'm there 3 or 4 days, we got to get out of here, man. And I ran to Kathy, and Kathy can suffer for Jesus. I mean, she can rest herself. Nothing wrong with that. That's a blessing. So, I mean, I get bored, so I start looking for heathens. I just walk out of there. I start walking down that beach. There are heathens all over. Man, I was walking, I'm climbing over these girls with these thongs, and you know what I did? I went, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, woo! And they start grabbing towels. I ain't never said nothing about their derrieres. The cat said, look at him over there. I said, y'all need to meet Jesus. Y'all gonna need healing today. I'm telling you, by 5 o'clock, you ain't gonna sit down. You're gonna get burnt slap alive. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll find me. One of the funniest things ever happened to me in my life, I walked, Kathy said, you've been in that hotel 3 days. Will you get out of there and come down here? I said, all right. So I put on my bathing suit or whatever, them shorts things. I'm walking down there. I walked by a black man taking a tan. Now, Jules, that didn't make no sense to me. There's a black man laying there taking a tan. I didn't know who he was. Never seen him before. I walked up to him. I said, what you doing? He said, excuse me? I said, what you doing? He said, I'm getting a tan. I said, man, you tanned all over. What you doing? Why are you trying to get a tan? He said, well, my wife told me to come out here. And I didn't make any sense to me neither. I said, exactly what he told me. I said, are you thirsty? He said, yes, I am. I said, I'm going to get some iced tea. You want some? Yeah. I said, come on, me. I made me a friend. We sitting there drinking iced tea, and I'm talking about, he said, you that white-headed preacher on television. You the funny one. I said, yeah. How you doing? Man, I mean, just joined. Here come his wife. Boy, she got all her, you know, all the pretty stuff. It's not allowed to get wet just to look pretty, you know. Just walking out there. She go, honey, I thought you was getting a tan. He said, look at me, woman. I'm tanned all over. Sweating like a mule out here. I ain't doing that no more. I'm with this guy. We drinking some iced tea. I made a friend. So I'm the next day. I said, I'll meet you at the iced tea place. Okay. And there's Kathy out there. And then that night, I said, you want to go somewhere? No. I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go nowhere. I said, you wanted me to do something, now you can't walk. Jesse, would you pray for me? No, I ain't praying for you. Then she had to put all that lotion on. You ever try to hug a woman with lotion? They just go flying out your arms. Got to take them off the wall. They're stuck on the wall. Making this funny. But you know what? I look at that phone. I knew it. I said, something's up. But I wasn't mad about it. Because ministry is a 24-hour day, 7-day week job. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means you don't rest yourself, but I'm saying it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He said, I'm about my Father's business. So Jesus was doing the business of the Father, not just the ministry of the Father. Jesus was so good at it when he came to feed those 5,000 people with a 2-piece fish dinner. He's a man of organization. See, business has to have organization. He said, tell the men to sit down in companies of 50. Now feed them. You got to have organization. You don't shoot from the hip in the ministry. You're going to kill someone you like instead of killing somebody you don't like. You see what I'm saying? You have to have organization. We are an organized ministry. When I have a meeting with my people, first thing I ask, I say, I want to know why. Why are you doing this? What for? What will it produce for me? What will I get from it? What is costing me? What I paid for it, and what shall it bring back in term of a return? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the business of ministry is not a part-time job. It's a 24-hour day, 7-day a week job. Now watch this. People say, but I'm committed to the Lord. Well, that's my hearty har har. Ministry, write it down, is not just about a commitment. It's about a commission, a destiny, and a destination. Ministry is not just about a commitment. It's about a commission, a destiny, and a destination. See, when God told me to open up the office in the United Kingdom, I didn't have one partner in the United Kingdom. But God said to open up the office. Well, that took a major investment to open up that office. When God told me to go to Australia, he said, open up the office in Australia. And I got my, y'all stand up. I want y'all to see these are the people that run my ministry in Australia and also in the United Kingdom and Europe. Give them a hand clap. Blessing of the Lord. They're the directors there. But you see, I had to make up my mind. I was committed. But why am I in Australia? Why I'm in the United Kingdom? Why am I in Europe? Why am I in all these places? Well, that's a commission. I must have a destiny and a destination. So ministry is not just about commitment. I hear a lot of people say, I'm committed. Well, whoopee-doo. What's the commission? What's the destiny? What's the destination? Now, that's the business part of it. So I'll call them or they'll call us and we'll say, what about this? What about that? I want answers. And Kathy said, if you tell Jesse a problem, he immediately begins to formulate an answer. Why? Because that's how you get rid of problems. You don't take a problem, put it on the shelf, and come back at it later. You formulate an answer and get rid of that. And say, next. You see what I'm saying? Because if you pile up problems, then stress comes your way. You answer things immediately. You formulate an answer to a problem. So the ministry is not about a commitment. It's about a commission, a destiny, and a destination. Now, that'll help you when you're tired. He said, because it doesn't make no difference if you're tired. What did God say? Well, he said to do this. Well, bless God, that's a commission. Now, but for you to reach your destiny, you also have to reach your destination. Ladies and gentlemen, I know where I'm going, and I know what I'm going to do when I get there. Because I'm committed. I'm about the Father's business. I've had bankers, I've had lawyers say, my Lord, you could be a lawyer. You could be a banker. Why? Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. A good businessman, Brother Jesse. Well, thank you very much. Why? Because I have an accounting to God Almighty. When God told me to build this place, he took me out on this property here when there was grass as high as my thigh, trees everywhere, mosquitoes big enough to fly you off like a pelican. I mean, there was some big, Louisiana got some big mosquitoes. And he told me, he said, we're going to do this. And he said, and you do three things. And he said, first thing, you watch over my money. First, he said, don't let no one change your mind. Don't let nobody change your mind. Number two, watch over my money because an accounting is coming. And the third thing, some of you have heard me say that. He said, when you do business, take the middleman out. Now, Nathan, I thought that means when we build this place, instead of buying from the person, I just go to the factory and buy it. He said, no, the middleman is not that. The middleman is you. Everybody's looking at you. You are not building this place. I am. You are just my representative that they will see. So when people would come up to me and say, boy, you're really building something nice, Brother Jesse, I ain't building nothing. I'd go buy something. I said, I won't build nothing. I'm not going to build anything. This is God's work. And I had heathens that wouldn't give God the time of day walking here and said this so many times. You know, I ain't never done nothing for God in my life. I want to do this. I want to do that. See, if you look across this building here, there is no support beam. Look at it. That's a long, long way. That takes engineering up there, brother. It's amazing. It's amazing work. Well, the engineers made a mistake. We were supposed to have now right here, brother, a support beam and another one over there. Well, I didn't want that. So people going like this, looking around. And I'm going to tell you a true story. Now, they were contractors hire a bunch of subcontractors. Now, these people are not saved. They're just working on the job. So I come walking on this slab. They said, Reverend DePlanis, I'm sorry. We're going to have to do a support beam here and a support beam there to hold the weight of this thing. I said, I don't want that. And then it hit me. Now, they had plumbers. We had the engineer. We had the architect. They had some sheetrock guys and all kinds of stuff. Just standing around, just looking at it. Some of them smoking cigarettes and stuff, you know, because that's what I didn't work for me. They worked for those people. They were just doing the job. I said, everybody grab hands. They just looked at me. I said, grab hand. We're going to pray. God's going to tell us how to do this. I said, God's going to speak to somebody right now. Now, these people, they ain't going to church. They go. So I said, everybody grab hand. When God said, let me put my cigarette down here. Hang on to it. He put it on a bucket or something like that. And I'm holding their hands. I said, Lord, you could feel the shake going all the way around this. I said, Lord, somebody messed up. We don't know who. We're not trying to blame nobody. But Lord, you speak to somebody and tell us how to do this because we don't want this in eyesight of your temple. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And they all looked. I said, what did God say? They did the same thing you did. I said, what did God say? God just spoke to somebody. The architect said, he ain't said nothing to me. The contractor said, he ain't said nothing to me neither. That's your father-in-law, Michael Green's father-in-law, Ray Cronin, standing right there. I said, God just spoke to somebody. Tell me. And there's this weird guy with the cigarette. He said, can I say something? I said, yeah. He said, you ever thought about doing this, this, and this? And when he did this, the engineer goes, the architect goes, yes. I said, man, the Lord just spoke to me. He went, wow, man. Wow. He said, let me get my cigarette. He went, I said, God just spoke. He went, oh, I guess I should, God, let me put that back down. And now you don't have that. I said, we got any more problems in this construction business? You suckle with hands and you pray. Are you going to be here? Ain't got anything to do with me. God didn't tell me. And if he would have told me, I wouldn't know how to explain it. So he got someone who knew something about that to explain it. Do you see what I'm saying? So ministry is not just about a commitment. I was committed to building this. But it's about a commission, a destiny, and a destination to build it debt-free and under budget. And Ricky was my liaison between the contract and everybody else right there. But Ricky would come. I'd see Ricky. When he start walking real low, I knew we had a problem. Oh, dear. We got to do this. I said, oh, fine. And I would say two things. Did you ask Kathy? She said, Kathy can read blueprints. My job was just to believe God to pay for the thing. Kathy's job, and she could see all that stuff. And she'd get with Ricky and all the kind of stuff. Don't tell Jesse this. Don't tell that. But I'd always figure it out fine. I said, wait, what are y'all doing? You know, and so we could get this thing going. Why? I had a commission. I had a destiny. And guess what? We reached our destination. We walked in here in this temple here in 2000, totally debt free. And three banks in New Orleans says, he can't do that without us. Yes, I can. Amen. And we did. But we did it from a business point. Now, you know, Sister Louise, I got three bids on everything I did. I researched everything out. I would look it over. I would take it with me when I was preaching. I'd be on the plane, and I'd be looking at this and that. And I'd pray over who, what, where. You know, we'd come back and say, what do you think about this? And, of course, Ricky put it all together. And Ricky watched it over because like it was his money. And then Ray Croner watched it over like it was his money. I mean, everybody was picking. It was just such a, it was a blessing. We didn't have one argument. That's a miracle of God to build a complex and not have one argument. I never had one argument with your father-in-law. Not one, me. I just, bless God. It was just wonderful. But we were doing business. Business. This was the business part of it, so we could do some ministry in it. I write this down. A ministry without profit is a ministry awaiting bankruptcy. Write it down. A ministry without profit is a ministry awaiting bankruptcy. Isaiah 48:7 said, the Lord teacheth thee to profit. So a lot of times when I don't know what to do, I go to Isaiah 48 and I read that scripture, verse 7. I said, now, Lord, I need some teaching on how to profit on this situation. Because a ministry without profit is a ministry awaiting bankruptcy. I've seen churches go under because they wouldn't profit. They thought poverty was wonderful and they lost everything. If you accept the curse, you get cursed. If you accept a blessing, you receive blessing. You see what I'm saying? So I'd say, God, teach me to profit. Help me. Now, write this down. It's more important to hear God's voice outside the church than it is to hear it inside. Why? It's more important to hear God's voice outside the church than it is to hear it inside. Because the wealth of the sinner is not in the church. It's outside the church. How many times I'm driving down the road and the Lord said, do this, do that, buy that, buy that. Yes, sir. And then sometime he look at something. I miss one of the greatest deals of my life. I'm talking a thousandfold return. I had a friend call me. He said, Jesse, you got $1,000? I said, yeah, I got $1,000. I had it on me, in my pocket, Steve. He said, you want to invest with me? I said, how much you invest? He said, $1,000. He said, I got another guy, $3,000. He said, let's buy this land. You know where the land is? Cross over the Luling Bridge. The Hailbox Bridge going toward Homer. And where you see the switch to go to Homer this way, that land right there. I could have bought it all for $3,000. It was a swamp. It was trash. I said, I don't want to do that. I said, why? He said, well, I just got a feeling about it. I said, I ain't doing that. And I heard the Lord go, mm-hmm. He gave me an opportunity. A revelation without a manifestation is a missed opportunity. He said, well, I'm going to buy it. The other guy backed out too. He said, I'll just buy it. So he paid $3,000 for it. 3 years later, the state bought it for $3 million. I'd have made $1 million on $1,000. Every time I see my friend, he goes. I'd have made $1,000 on $1,000. It's more important to hear God's voice outside the church than it is to hear the inside. What's the problem? I wasn't doing business. Now, the $1,000 wouldn't even hurt me. I had it on me in my pocket. And I could have just gave it to him cash. And I could trust him. He just smiled. And every time I drive over that overpass, I said, don't remind me, Lord. Memories. Thousandfold. Because I wasn't prepared to do business. I mean, it was worth more than $3,000. Somebody just wanted to get rid of it. I said, well, did you know the state was coming in to do that? No, but I just had a feeling.
But this man's feeling he knew God. And he got blessed in the midst of it. So, write this down. Divine ideas. That was a divine idea. Divine concepts and divine insights come from business meetings with God. Have you had a business meeting with God? Instead of going in there wailing and bawling and squalling, just sit down, get your pen, get your paper, and go before God. And say, Lord, I need to know some things. Now, don't go run off, because the minute he starts talking, most people leave. That's why they never hear what he has to say. Divine ideas, concepts, and insights come from business meetings with God. Your mind will then analyze and explore and possess how to achieve those goals. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 2:16 says you have the mind of Christ. Let me say it again. You're writing it down. Divine ideas, concepts, and insights come from business meetings with God. Your mind will then analyze, explore, and possess how to achieve those goals. When they present me something to buy, Deborah, like television time, I go before the Lord. Got a business meeting here. Lord, I need a business meeting. So I sit down. I said, now, Lord, you see the situation here. He begins to speak. I just sit there and meditate, concentrate. I said, now, Lord, let my mind, which is the mind of Christ, analyze this, explore this, and then possess it so I can achieve the goal you want me to do. That, I do that all the time, constantly. When I purchased a plane, I didn't know nothing about aviation. That is a major investment for the work of God. Mm-hmm. And everybody tell you whatever you want to hear. Yeah. So you got to know the truth here. And I said, Lord, first I'd pray, is this the one? Now, I want to know how long you fly it and how many hours you fly it before you have to have 1 hour of maintenance. I want to know this. I want to know that. And of course, I got a good crew that helps me on those kind of things. And David Deloach is the head of my aviation. And he says, he's saving me money everywhere we're going. Why? Because we analyze, we explore, and we possess. So I had a business meeting with God. And I said, that's it. And I never looked back. You see, I already had it. And a lot of times the devil want to put a thought in my mind. Well, you don't know nothing about that. I may not, but the mind of Christ in me does. I said, you can't understand that because you don't have the mind of Christ neither. So what are you talking to me about anyway? Both of us are confused. So I would begin to reach out to the Lord and I would have business meeting with him. There's been a lot of times I'm going to tell you something. 99% of every time I talk to God, Pastor, I'm not praying. I'm talking. That's called fellowship. That's called throne time. I'm not saying, people go and pray and, oh, Lord, gee, oh, Lord, gee. And then after they finish praying, they get up and walk out. Have you ever just sat down and talked to God? How many times Kathy's told me that we'll be married 38 years this year in June. Said, why don't you talk to me? Well, what you want? Well, nothing. And then we ain't got nothing to say. You know what I'm saying? But what she's saying is, how was your day? Good. Women want detail. How was the meeting? It was great. Detail. Give me some detail here, And she never understood that until she started preaching. I used to say, do you like the message? Yeah. She said, I said, well, what did you like about it? Well, you heard it. You ought to know. But now that she preaches, she's looking for me. What do you think about it? And sometimes we like to freak each other out, I'll say, that's the worst trash I've ever heard in my life. She goes, I said, you cause people to go to hell, Kathy. What's wrong? Oh. I said, no, I'm joking. Beat my brains out. She gets back at me. One time I'm preaching, she looks at me and goes, I'm thinking, God, something hanging out my nose. So I said, everybody just lift your hands up and praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I did this. And she goes. And I'm thinking this thing is moving around my face. And she's just laughing up a storm. One time she tried to tell me my zipper was down, but I wouldn't receive it. But it was. Zipper's down. Yeah, zipper's down. Finally, Gloria Copeland jumps up and says, Jesse, your zipper's down. And I had blue underwear on. That's not the business of the ministry. Funniest thing happened in church. Kathy went to the bathroom one time and stuffed her whole dress in her pantyhose, walked all the way to the front of the meeting. I had people say, you got a fine looking wife. Yeah, I thought so myself, brother. Then she got so mad at me, you should have told me. Looked pretty good to me, mama. That was at Mike Perkins' church. Remember that? And she said, I'm getting out of, she was dying in the pew. And I made her come up and say something before the Lord. I knew if she'd sit there, that devil would beat her brains out. So she got up and said, I guess y'all know the revelation I'm going to talk about. It happens. What are you going to do? Have you ever messed up in the Word of God? I've had Jesus in Noah's boat. I had Abraham talking to Pharaoh and he's supposed to be Joseph. Everybody gets mixed up every once in a while. I had a guy get up one time and says, this is the funniest thing ever. Anointing of God come on. He wanted to pray in the Holy. He wanted to prophesy. Thus saith the Lord thy God. I forgot. He sat down. I forgot. That literally happened in one of my meetings. I had another guy got up and said, thus saith the Lord thy God. As Abraham walked on the water with Jesus. Oops, I made a mistake. Put a King James on it. Oops. Write this down. God gives the big ideas. You handle the small details. God gives the big ideas. You handle the small details. Now, how do you handle the small details? Now, Dr. Cobra's going to like this. Prepare your mind and your physique to be healthy. Now, you know, Cajun people, we love grease. They call us slippery. We can eat grease. When a crawfish see a Cajun, he just has a heart attack. Oh, just that's why his little hands go up. He praise God because he's going in the pot. A lot of that stuff is not good for you. And you know, you try to eat right. When I first met Don and Mary, Lord Jesus, I love Mary. I didn't like Don. Had Don walking around like GQ. There's Mary behind him eating a Snicker bar. I'm trying to build a ministry here, woman. Yeah, I like Snicker bars. Glory to God. But he was right. He was right. Let me say it again. God gives the big ideas. You handle the small details. You prepare your mind and your physique to be healthy. For you to accomplish your destiny, reach your destination, and produce the commission, God, you're going to have to be healthy. You're going to have to take care of yourself the best you can. You see what I'm saying? Now, I like butter, too. And ain't nothing wrong with eating, because he said, I like what some people are crazy, but Don's not like it. He said everything's done in moderation. It's okay to eat something, but not every day. So I love Popeye's fried chicken. I mean, I dream about Popeye's fried chicken. You think I'm kidding you? I went to eat one time with Christine and Ricky right there. And he says, you want to go to Popeye? I said, no, just drive by. Let me take a nose hit. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're a bunch of ex-drug addicts. You know what I'm talking about. I drove by. Slow down, Ricky. Let me take a nose hit. Oh, Lord. He said, you want to stop? No, I don't want to stop. Went to eat a salad. So mad at myself, but it was healthy for me. And all night, love that chicken from Popeye. The only time you find success ahead of work is in the dictionary. The only time you find success ahead of work is in the dictionary. Results are essential. When Kathy tells me they're going to do something with the ministry, with the magazine, whatever, I want results. I'll never forget one time my executive director comes and said, I can save you $150,000 on the magazine. I said, you can. Yeah. He said, we're going to have to change vendor, do this and that. I said, really? I said, $150,000 cash? Yeah. That was in February. He said, it takes about November. I said, we will not talk about it further, but come November, I better have $150,000 sitting in that account. He said, you serious? I said, I'm very serious. I'll go do your work. I expect results. Come November, here come Eddie smiling. There's your $150,000. Now, that's all I wanted. All I wanted, what he said, what would happen. I don't like people saying, we can do this, and then it don't work. Excuse me. No. No, it's got to work. You have to have results. Let me say it again. The only time you find success ahead of work is in the dictionary. Results are essential. Now, Write this down. I'm going fast over this. The business of ministry is to explore the unlimited possibilities God has set before you. What is the unlimited possibilities? How do you explore that? I press toward a mark for the prize of the high calling. There is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Some of you write it down. I'll say it again. The business of ministry is to explore the unlimited possibilities God has set before you. I said this last night. If you don't see the end of your ministry, don't start. If you don't see the end of your ministry, don't go into the ministry or start one. You must see the end before you begin. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. I'm coming out with a new book. I'm signed with Simon & Schuster. They don't even want me to give it. They don't want me to talk to the Christian crowd at all. Because they're hitting a secular market with this called the Everyday Visionary. You might have saw it in our magazine. And I've always said this. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. David Deloach is back there, my pilot. We never get in the plane unless we know where we're going. I trust that man and Andrew and my I have a full complete aviation crew. And I get on that plane. I know that plane's safe. They know where they're going. Now, I have no problems with David Deloach and Andrew Della Torre flying a plane. I have a problem is when they get in a car. When they get in a car, they get lost like a goose. They don't know where they're going. But in a plane, they can find a needle in a haystack. But you put them in a car, they don't know what east and west is. But on a plane, they do it. He's back there. I mean, how many times I said, do y'all know where y'all going? Oh, yeah, let me read it. Yeah, then you got one looking at some kind of thing. Turn left, turn left. Wind up in a field. I said, this ain't right. Looking for a restaurant one time. Wind up at somebody's house. He said, well, the street's the name. It's the same name of the street. But that ain't the restaurant. Delayed me probably an hour running all over. But now in a plane, oh, they can go somewhere. In a car, I'm amazed they find a way home. I give him a hard time. If you don't see the end of your ministry, don't go into one and don't start one. Now, this is very important for ministers. A business-like ministry will always attract successful people to it. A business-like ministry will always attract successful people to it. Always staff to your weakness, not your strengths. Problem with ministers, they got egos. And that's the worst way. You destroy your own ministry with your ego and you're not thinking in business. I look for people to hire in this place where I'm weak at, Mary, not where I'm strong. I can handle strong stuff. But there's some things I don't know about. So staff to your weakness. That person that you're hiring should be able to do it better than you are. That's good business. You see what I'm saying? You don't staff to your strength. And then after they get your weakness up to your strength, don't fire them getting mad because everybody is giving them compliments that they did a good job. Thank God. In other words, you organized it. It worked for you. So you staff to your weakness. You see what I'm saying? Not to your strengths. I can handle the strength part. It's things I don't know to do. Now, we're about ready to start our house. We're finally going to build this last house. And if you don't like big, you don't want to see this thing. Because God told me in November last year, he said, you built my house. I said, yes, I have. And I'm going to put this on tape so you can hear. You built my house. Yes, I have. You built it debt free. Yes, I have. Now build your house. And tell Kathy, no limits. I said, Jesus, come here. What'd you say? You heard what I said. So I said, Kathy, no limits. She said, okay, Jesse. Oh, Lord. And boy, I mean, and she's building something beautiful. And it's a blessing. Now, they blame me for the size of it. I ain't had anything to do with that. Look at her. Glory to God. But that's fine. Whatever she wants. Is people going to get mad? Most likely. But it ain't your money. It's mine. Amen. Amen. I don't mean that to be rude. I just made up my mind. I'm going to do what the Lord said I could do. And the Philistines will get envious. But that's all right. It didn't make any difference. Amen. It just doesn't make any difference. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm on obedience of God. That's it. Just that simple. See? But I'm going to do the business. I got my contractor, Richard. Lift your hand up so people know we're Richard. Richard's going to be out there. Now, Richard knows stuff I don't know. How many times I say, Richard, can we do this? Just try this. See? So as we go in this, we're going to go back and forth. Not in arguments. We're not arguments. We're friends. We do good business. And we're going to work this thing. And when it's all said and done. Oh, let me help you. It's already paid for and it's not even built yet. Amen. We just put some dirt out there. Am I correct, Richie? Already, I had people come at all the sheetrock's been given to me. Am I right, Richie? A lot of sheetrock, isn't it? Person called up and said, told Kathy, I want to give you a big pool for your big house so we can bless our big God. Glorify our big God. I mean, this is a major pool. Any kind of pool you want, that's give to me. The other day, a person come and said, you want all the granite. Any granite, all the granite's yours if you want it. We ain't even started yet. Is that a miracle of Jesus? Richard told me this. Some plumber came up to him and said, I'll do the plumbing. Anybody give you a bid, I'll beat it. Am I telling the truth? We hadn't even started yet. But you know, when we do start it, and it's very soon, I'm pretty sure now the engineers and the architects have got together. We kind of wondered what was the problem, and there was three sides to the story. There's the engineer side, and then there's the architect side, and then there's the truth. So I let Richie handle that stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, when it's going to start, you mark my words. I'm going to build it beautiful. I tell you what, next time we do a meeting like this, I'd like you to come sit. It'll take your breath away. Not bragging. Ain't got anything to bragging. I'm going to just obey. This is an obedience to the Lord. And it's beautiful. And it's going to be filled with beautiful treasures that I've collected over all my life. You know, I love architecture and I love artwork. I've got paintings. I've been collecting for this for years and years and years. And it's going to be beautiful. Yeah, and it's supposed to be beautiful. And I'm going to say, look what the Lord hath done. And I don't doubt somebody going to get mad. And I'm going to say, well, come on. They all want to get mad. A lot of people will get mad about it, but they want to go inside and look at it. I'll say this in close. I regard prosperity as a promised result. I regard prosperity as a promised result. Everything you need to succeed is in you. Everything you need to succeed is in you. All it takes is you to organize and refine. That's all it's got to do. Do just like Jesus. Told those people, sit down in companies of 50. We're going to feed you. Let me say it again. I regard prosperity as a promised result. Everything you need to succeed is in you. All it takes is you to organize and refine it. Now, according to Richie and according to Catherine, they don't see the plans of this house. It's already built. Now, I can't see it like that. I just want one thing, the foyer. A dream's going to come to pass in my life that I saw when I was 6 years old. We were very poor. We lived in trailers. We were called trailer trash. And I saw the movie Gone with the Wind. And I'll never forget it the first time. I've seen it many times now, but I mean, when I was six, I went, Mama, look. I said, Mom, I'm going to build a house like the movies. And Mama says, yo, what's the matter with you? Boy, you a West Bank boy. Boy, you stupid. You got that kind of money, boy. But my dream began to grow in me at 6 years old. And you know what caught my attention? When Scarlett walked into the plantation 12 Oaks. And the doors open up in that beautiful white staircase. Did y'all see that? Remember that? I am building that staircase. That will be in the foyer. I'm building that staircase. And I'm going to have Kathy come down in a big dress. And she going to be Scarlett and I'm going to be Rhett Butler. Scarlett. Yeah, I'm building that. That's all I want. Now they blaming me for the whole size of the house. But I was like, oh. And she called the architect and he said, it's true. I said, Kathy, he'll say anything you want him to say. You paying him. And she said, no, I'm paying him. Kathy gets these revelations. She gets her American Express bill. She said, would you like to pay my bill? Oh, that's what I look for. That's what I want.
Good man.
It's all right. I don't mind. Make no difference. So it's going to be beautiful. Maybe one day you can come. And see it, and you'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see the boats coming down the river. It'll be finished. Then I told my daughter Jody, if Jesus tarries and I die, you don't want it, Jody? I give it to this place. And they'll be talking about it, if Jesus tarries about it, 100, 200 years from now. Because it's going to look like this, all these big columns. It's going to be a beautiful place. But what's going inside of it is what makes it beautiful. You know what's going inside of it? Kathy. Hallelujah. Well, we got to go. We see y'all later. And those things that I And I wish my mother, and I pray to God that the Lord let my mama see it. Yes. Not my new mama. I hope the Lord, and I know what she's going to say. I remember him saying that. And the dream will come to pass. And it shall come to pass. And I will stand there and say, like I've said in everything God's ever done for me, the great God Jehovah has been good to me. Amen. And Kathy's building a beautiful kitchen. I don't know why. She don't cook, but we're going to have a nice kitchen. She said, I'm going to get people to come in and cook. I said, okay. That's just such a blessing, glory to God. Kathy can cook good, but she's been delivered from the bondage. And everybody all over this county or parish is talking about it, and we haven't even started yet. Some are happy, some are mad. It's all right. I have a commission. I have a destiny, and I have a destination. And one day my little granddaughter will go up the stairs, come down the stairs. Meredith. I'll even let her slide down the banister when her mama and her grandma ain't looking. I might slide down with her myself. And it's going to be fun. And she's going to have her room. Yeah. Gloria Copeland called me and said, where's my room? I said, you'll have one too. People come over. It'll be a blessing. How can you do those things? Same way I did this. It's all done by faith.